Hello. It's me. It's your buddy Doug. Driving home. And I hope it's not too noisy. Hold on. Jeez. Is that better? Ah, geez, I don't know if this is going to be any good audio or not. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Turn that down. There we go. It's me. Like I said, driving home from work. It's Friday night, 7:42, just about to hit the road. And I have to excuse the sound of the microphone rubbing against me. Damn, this is a terrible microphone on these earbuds. Anyway, I was very happy this morning to see that there was a brand new late night QRM that had come out. And if you're not listening to late night QRM yet, you probably should check it out. It's a good time listening to the boys sitting around talking. Josh, Barry, and Mike. It's like listening in. It's great listening into a conversation of three very old good friends. And by very old, I don't mean their advanced ages. I mean that, you know, you can tell that they've been friends for a very long time and they care for one another. And yeah, that's a good thing. So I was excited to see that this morning, and almost crashed my car as I was driving in, coming across the top of Toronto on the 401. If you don't know the show, they basically usually do an intro clip, which is kind of funny. Hold on, I got to change gears here. Gonna merge on the highway. Hold on. Back to the story in a moment. Good God. Oh, yeah. Can you hear it? Yeah. I love the sound of the supercharger in the Mini. Anyway, as I was saying, they usually have a sort of a one-liner or a good joke that happens at the beginning of the show before Barry then introduces the show and plays the theme song and all that. And this episode, it just took forever for that to happen. And finally, when the guys basically are about ready to do to start the show officially, about 40 minutes into this pre-show, Barry's about to wind up, introduces himself, where he's coming from. The other guys are supposed to introduce themselves, and the whole call just cuts out. And I heard that, and I just started howling it with laughter. I was laughing so hard that I think that the people in the cars beside me that were traveling at 100 kilometers an hour plus, for those of you in the U.S., that's 660 miles per hour plus, they must have heard me. And like the tears were welling up in my eyes. I was laughing so hard. It was just so good. And I was very excited to hear and see that there was a new episode. And so that was my big highlight of the day. Other than that, the other big highlight, I have not recorded since the, I recorded a Doug versus the Phone episode, which ended up actually being a clip show, as MMD pointed out to me. Oops, didn't know that. If you don't know, Doug versus the Phone is my other podcast where I talk to telemarketers on the phone. So, if you like that kind of stuff, it's there for you at Doug versus the Phone at .wordpress.com. I guess the last episode or time I visited with you and recorded, we were up at the Fern Resort, and I was talking about how I wasn't sure whether it was, you know, all that it was cracked up to be and whether or not it was going to be everything that we had hoped it to be. I think it was it was good for me. It was a fun time in that I think it created some memories. And as we all know, memories are more or less priceless. I really wish that every time I went over a bump in this car, it didn't sound like there was an explosion happening. I guess maybe I've got the mic turned up too high. I don't know. Anyway, you'll forgive me, won't you? Let's not worry about sound. Let's just worry about content. So I think on that episode, I was talking about how I was thinking about starting running, but was not sure as to how I was going to go about it, how I was going to get the exercise, how I was going to ensure that, my heart didn't explode and all that kind of stuff, my worries about that. Well, I finally decided, if it's going to explode, it's going to explode. And I started doing the Couch to 5K running program, where you slowly work your way up to running 5K all in at one time. And as you work up, you go through basically interval training, where for the first week, 3 days, you run... you do a 30-minute exercise program where you warm up for 5 minutes, run for a minute, walk for a minute and a half, run for a minute, walk for a minute and a half, kind of do that run and walk thing for 20 minutes, and then another 5-minute cool down. So it basically ends up being 30 minutes of exercise that you're out walking and running. And for the first week, it's like 8 minutes of running and 12 minutes of walking for that sort of exercising. And then as you progress through the weeks, you get more and more running and less walking until the end. You do a 5-minute, or not a 5-minute, a 5-kilometer run. And that's an 8-week program. It sometimes takes some people a little bit longer because maybe they're not able to advance to the second or third or fourth the next week to the harder levels right away if their body's not ready for it. So I have done 2 days of running. The first night was surprisingly not too painful. I made it 3 kilometers doing the combination of walking and running in the 30 minutes. And this last night, I did my second night, and I did 3.2 kilometers in the 30 minutes of the combination of walking and running. And it was good. My pace of my running was pretty good. At the halfway point, I was further than, I think I was probably 100 meters further down the road that I was on the previous night, where the little halfway voice on my iPhone came up and said, you're halfway. And so that was a good feeling. It was like, I'm already getting better. And the great thing about it all is that at the end of it, I'm not feeling like I've hurt myself and, I cannot do this. I feel like I can do this. And I actually look forward to doing the next run, which I will hopefully do tomorrow evening or tomorrow during the day or something like that. I've been running at nighttime, and I find that that's actually quite nice when I get home. It's relaxing, and I can see what people talk about with it being a good stress reliever. It's a period of time when I think it's very, what is the word? I don't want to say zen. I think that is the worst description of something ever, but cognitive, mindful. I think mindful is the best word. It is a process that is very... helps you to be very mindful of your body and yourself, and you spend your time, instead of thinking about finances or stress at work or whatever problems might be in the back of your head, whether there is some or not, there usually is, no matter, look, we're all human, we all have something that is on our mind, whether we know it or not, you spend that time actually more concerned with or more focused on your body, on where you are at the moment, on your breathing. And especially if you have your headphones on and you're running, I'm very conscious of my breath. of hearing my breath coming in and out, you know, that you really, really notice it. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, because sometimes I think that I'm probably, you know, like wheezing down the road past people as I'm running. And, you know, they're probably looking at me going, dude, you're like barely moving. Look at that fat guy running down the street. But on the other hand, you're at that moment, you're very conscious. You're very mindful of your breath, your feet, your shins, your thighs, your legs, your butt, your whole body. You're aware of where you're placing your feet, where your arms are going. You're concentrating on yourself, which we don't, I don't know if it's encouraged enough these days that, we should be so mindful of ourself and take care of ourself and be so selfish. It tends to come down to, you know, doing that kind of stuff is a selfish thing, and we don't do that, you know. It's frowned upon. We need to be helpful. We need to be caring. We need to do for others and not always do for ourselves. And I think, you know, maybe I have been guilty of doing too much of worrying about others and not worrying about myself, because I used to be able to run. I used to be able to ride a bike. I used to be able to, you know, to get exercise and not be worrying about, you know, am I going to explode? Can I run for more than a minute? Can I ride my bike hard for more than, you know, a couple kilometers? I used to be able to do that. And I have since somehow let that go for whatever reason. Work getting in the way, so I'm too concerned about making sure that work is done and not caring about myself, not taking care of myself once I get home, and then, you know, getting married and making sure that I was spending time with my wife, being a couple, or being with my wife and my daughter, or all those things, and just sort of always delaying or putting off time to spend on me. And I'm starting to realize that the more time that I avoided spending on me and making sure that I'm healthy actually makes it so that I could potentially be taking time away from spending with the people that I love and the people that I care about, because I might leave earlier if I'm not in proper shape. Now, I don't have to be 0% body fat, long-distance runner like some of my friends are. I just have to be healthy, and that's what where I'd like to be. So anyway, there we go. I've started running. Work is work. You know, we're busy. We're coming up on filming episode 12 of the season. There's still another 4 episodes left, I think. I think there's something like that. We're either doing 13 or 16, so I think we're doing 16. And but you don't know that. I don't think it's been released to the public yet. But anyway, whatever. Nobody listens to this. Who cares? Don't spread it around the internet, all right? You don't know what show I'm talking about, do you? I've also heard rumors of another show that's starting up, and a designer that I like working with is supposed to be the production designer on it, and I'm excited to maybe get on that come November. And that would take me all the way to July, which would be great. That would be over a year straight of work. I've never done that. And that would make a big, big difference in the bank account. And hopefully relieve a bit of the stress of money that is always there. Maybe it's more money, more problems. I don't know. Anyway, I got more than others, that's for sure. So that's that. And then in terms of play, I guess kind of the running has been play, or maybe that's been life. I've been listening to the podcasts. I can hardly believe it. I've actually gone through most of my backlog of unlistened podcasts, and I'm sitting here. Or you can tell it's the summer because people aren't putting out as much, including me. And sorry, you got to change a lane here. But the it's always good when I hear the new episodes coming out. You know, Bob Stuff, Late Night QRM is a new favorite of mine. The podcast that shall not be named, of course. All the mini casts that everybody's doing. Mark my words. It's good to hear the Zed Blasts out there, and of course, always a good chuckle when I listen to Up in This Brain, either short or long. But I was going through. Well, let's put it this way. I've been sitting on a skit, basically, a bit that I produced, I guess before I started this most recent job. I was planning on doing episode 52, I believe, of Slug is Doug podcast, the longer version of this podcast, which I'm kind of beginning to believe that that is not really going to happen for a very long time, because the main computer that I actually use to create that on is my work computer, and that's at work, because being a basically being a freelancer, I bring my own computer into work, and it's a desktop PC that runs my 3D programs on it and stuff like that, and so that stays at work. But that's the computer I was doing the longer Slug is Doug podcast on, and that's the one that I do all the sort of production work, the editing and the producing of the more complicated stuff. It's the one that has my Audacity on it, that has all the sound effects and shit like that. And that was sort of the one that sat in my office that was my studio. So I did a skit for episode 52 that was then going to be basically part one of three, I believe. At least that's kind of how I planned it. And it was all to tell a part of story of basically how I hurt my back back in probably the summer between my second... Was that the summer? Maybe that was the summer between my second and third year university. Probably the same summer that I broke my leg. May have actually been the summer between my first and second year university. Anyway, regardless. I was going to tell the story about how I hurt my back. And the long and the short of it is, I made the first part of the skit, and I've been sitting on it because I wanted to finish the other two parts, but I don't know if those are going to happen anytime soon. And I was listening to this skit again, and I love it, and I just want you guys to hear it, and I wanted to share it with you. So here's the story of how I hurt my back, and I'll give you the first part. I'll give you the overall part of the story. I started on a job. It was a construction job working for a guy who was a home builder. And he was working in he was building a new subdivision in, I guess it was probably Tecumseh or that area of Windsor. And I was I was a university student, and I've never actually worked on a construction site at that point, and had just showed up, and it was my first day, maybe my second, I think it was my first day, and that's the day I actually injured myself on the work site, and more or less, you know, threw my back out at the age of 20, and I believe that since then I have been plagued with back problems. When I was in my late 30s to see a chiropractor, because I was unable to actually walk, I was stuck on my back for a week on the floor of my apartment. I was able to crawl out the front door, climb into my car and get it into first gear and drive it to the nearest chiropractor in first gear, park and go in. He took an x-ray of my back, and it was very much out of line. my spine had shifted midway up my back so that it made a nice S-curve so that the... It had basically shifted a full vertebrae over so that the top part of my back was in the middle. Then the middle part of my back was off to the left, under, like, shifted away from the straight line on the other side of the vertebrae above it. And then underneath it kind of came back. So it was a big kind of S-curve, a chicane, as it were, a tight, tight chicane. And through chiropractic visits, an intense couple of years of chiropractic visits, it's been straightened back to normal. Well, to within normal limits, within acceptable limits. So it's much better. But I believe that the damage probably started on that job. And so I was going to tell you the story about that. And I'm going to give you, as my brother sends me a note telling me that he is at level 5 in Ingress, soon to be level 6, the bastard. He knows I'm stuck at level 3. Bastard, I will get you, Junior. Anyway, stop texting me right now. I'm trying to do a podcast here. You will pay. Anyway, I'm going to give to you the first part of the, hopefully at some point, three-part series of Doug Hurts His Back. I bring you to the construction site on my very first day of the job. All right, here we go. Hopefully I can do this while I'm driving here. Here we go.
To me?
Oh, sorry. Yeah?
Okay, look. I want you to go over there.
Over there?
You looking at me?
Yeah, yeah.
You listen, look. Yeah. You look in my eyes when I talk to
you.
Yeah,
I will, sir. I'm not sure, Tony.
I want you to go over there.
Yeah.
You take the Mexican.
Peter?
I want you to go over there and you guys dig holes for the new fence, okay?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, you do that.
Okay.
After you've done that,
uh-huh.
After you're done digging holes,
right.
I want you to move the furniture in the house downstairs, okay? Because I'm moving out.
Oh, you're moving out. Cool.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
you
great.
Do that?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay.
With Peter.
The other new guy.
Peter.
The Mexican.
Yeah, Peter.
The Mexican, he's over there.
Yeah.
You'll find him. You'll know, he's wearing a red hat.
Well, I think his name's Peter.
You guys always think you know everything.
Well, I'm sorry, Tony. Oh. All right.
Hey, Peter, we got a job to do here, buddy.
Say, vamos! Yeah, let's go!
I don't know, Peter. Do you know what the deal is with this guy? What's the deal with?
I don't know. He just seemed mean to me.
Ah.
Call me Mexican. All
right, well, that's a job.
Yeah.
Let's get this done before lunch.
Si, before lunch. I'm getting hungry.
So, there you go. I hope that, I hope you could hear that. as I was trying to get that cart to go, I'm recording this in Boss Jock as I'm driving home, as you probably have been able to tell. I'm pretty sure that as I was searching for the button, I was swerving all over the road. Luckily, the traffic is not so bad for a Friday night coming home on the 401, 8 o'clock at night. Anyway, so there you go. That was my my first experience with Tony. And if you didn't know, I did all the voices in that. Pretty talented, eh? Including Tony. Hey, new kid. Yeah. He was an asshole. Yeah. Sorry, I just yelled at you.
He's an asshole.
As you may have been able to tell in that setup, I went on with Peter. His actual name was Pedro, or something like that. He was he was actually from Mexico. He was Mexican. But for some reason, Tony insisted on calling him Mexi Kid. I don't know why. He was just, you know, he didn't want to call him the Mexican. He didn't want to call him Peter. He just called him Mexikid. And for those of you who don't know me, especially those of you that did not know me when I was in my 20s, when I started university at the age of 19, I weighed, I think I came in just under 100 pounds. Yeah, I think I was around 100 pounds. And I'm 5 foot, what, six, maybe? I'm not even 5 foot six. I'm probably 5 foot five. And so Peter and I, who was also, he was a slight fellow as well. I think Peter was actually up to eventually pick corn for the corn growers. He was, you know, doing the itinerant worker type thing. But of course, at that time, corn wasn't ready yet, so he was picking up some construction work. Tony sent me and Peter, the Mexikid, off to go drill those post holes. And, sorry, changing lanes again. And it was, goddamn, was it ever a hot day. Midday sun, we had one of those big post hole diggers that two people stand, one person on either side, and they got the bar and the throttle, and it's got like, I don't know, like a couple horsepower motor on the top and a big earth auger on the bottom. Well, nobody showed us how to use it. We just kind of had to figure out how to use it. And I kind of had an inkling of what I was supposed to do, but of course, you know, me being a 20-something-year-old architecture student, I figured I knew everything. And, well, I don't know, Peter just didn't seem like a smart guy. He was an okay guy, but he was not the smartest. So us two, strapping, well, maybe not so strapping, but slight young men, went over, and we somehow got that motor started, and we stuck that auger into the dirt, and we started her up, put her in gear, started turning and turning and turning, digging up some dirt. And well, if anybody who is from the Windsor area will tell you, it's mainly clay. The ground there is mainly clay and rock. And anybody who's used a post hole digger, especially a power one, will tell you, they don't do so well when they hit rock. And this thing, we had her, I don't know, probably, I think Peter was controlling the throttle at that point. I was just kind of there to stabilize. This thing hit a rock, and it threw the two of us like we were rag dolls, like across the yard. And like, we were sweaty. Like, we were already sweaty. I'd spent the morning banging nails, I think, into a floor or something like that. And it was just hot. It was Windsor hot. It was hot, humid summer. And we hit a rock, and I got thrown probably a good 6-7 feet, maybe more. And so did Peter. I probably damn near broke my hand or my wrist, because, you know, like, it just grabs you and just, like, boom, throws you. We're both lying on the ground, and this thing's there going, brr, 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 spinning around in circles, and until the, I guess it must have had a auto return, or a, you know, a de-throttle, an automatic throttle, where once you let go, it stops going. But it spun around a few times after we let go, and we're like, holy shit, what do we do now? So we were a bit sheepish after that, but it was, you know, we got it done. We eventually got a bunch of the holes done, and hopefully we put them in the right place. And then the construction guys came along, and they started laying in the posts for the fence posts and stuff like that. And then we got taken off of that after lunch. We went and had to move furniture out of the model home. Peter was helping me, and Tony, the construction guy, the contractor, I guess is what he was, the business owner, he was living in one of the model homes. And they had sold that one, and he was moving to a new one. So he was having his guys move his furniture out and load up the van. And for some reason, he decided to choose the two smallest guys on the crew to move his goddamn furniture. I remind you, when I started university at the age of 19, I weighed, if I was lucky, 100 pounds soaking wet. And the same for Peter, I think. Though I don't think he was a university student. You know, there was other guys on the site that were, I know were more than capable of moving some furniture. Anyway, Tony had a penchant for solid wood, like solid cherry, solid oak furniture. And all of the furniture in the upstairs had been moved, but it was the furniture on the second floor that needed to come down. And did I mention it was summertime and it was hot? We were sweaty. So we get into the house, we go up the stairs. The first piece of furniture he wants us to move is this oak, solid oak, armoire. The thing was massive. And I guess, you know, being young and eager, not really knowing that one could say no to something that could potentially be injurious to oneself, I was like, sure, yeah, we can do that. Let's do it. I was working out at the time, you know, I had a few muscles. I wasn't weak. This thing, let's face it, this thing outweighed me by a lot. And Tony, being the ever-present asshole, was standing behind us the whole time saying, Hey, look out for the wall. Hey, don't hit the wall. Hey, make sure you don't touch the wall. You're all dirty. You'll get the top walls all dirty. I don't want to touch up paint or anything. God damn these bumps. Can you hear that? Good God, that's a pain in the ass. So we get the armoire to the top of the stairs, and I'm already sweating like a pig. Like this was a lot of work. And for some reason, it comes to me to be the first guy going down the stairs. And the staircase is it's in one of these new build homes. It's like got a big stair foyer, a stair hall. Sorry. So it's wide open, but it's a curving staircase. So it's not a straight run down. We're going down and we're turning. It's a gentle enough curve. It's not like a spiral staircase, but it's, you know, you gotta manage. So not only is this thing too heavy, not only am I at the bottom trying to keep it from crushing me, I've got to turn and make sure that...
Hey, make sure you don't hit the walls. Those walls are curved. Those drywall took me forever to get done. I don't want to have to redo those. This house just got sold.
Tony is there, going batshit crazy, making sure that the two weakest guys on the crew carrying the heaviest piece of fucking furniture down the stairs don't fuck up. Well, guess what happens? We're sweaty. We're weak. Peter at the top slips. Sorry, bumping. Peter slipped. It was either his foot or his hand or something like that. And the armoire started to fall. Not only did it start to fall on me, it started to fall over the railing. It wanted to go over the railing and, you know, go to the ground, because that's what gravity does. my instant reaction is to push it so that it, A, does not crush me, and B, goes away from the railing towards safety, which would be towards the wall. Well, I must have hulked out, because I pushed it really, really freaking hard. And pushed it so hard that it came back, it hit the wall, after basically crushing me, for the most part. It hit the wall, it luckily made a hole in the wall, and got stuck on a stud, so that it no longer was going to crush me. And as soon as I did that, I felt my back just scream out in pain. You know, it was like Ben Kenobi himself in Star Wars. You know, off in the distance, you know, you could hear 1,000 voices extinguished all at once, or whatever that quote was. There was a lot of pain. At which point I got Tony the asshole down at the bottom going, "Oh my God, I can't believe you guys!" And not once did he ask us if we were okay. He went batshit insane about how we just about dropped his precious armoire over the railing, and then put a hole in his wall. He didn't care that I'd hurt myself. So I tried to finish the day off, but I couldn't. And at one point, he was just going too batshit about this thing that I just said, "Okay, that's it. I'm out of here." And I left. And my dad took me to the doctor, and the doctor, you know, said, "Well, you pulled your back. You pulled a muscle in your back. I don't even think they did an X-ray. Anyway, he gave me some Advil or something like that for back pain. And that was it. I was on my way. I think I found a better job after that. Although some days, I really wish that I maybe made that guy pay some workman's comp, or at least called the workman's safety board on him, because let's put it this way. There was no safety goggles on the site. No instruction on how to use any machinery. Asking people who clearly could not do the job to do a job. And anyway, so there you go. That was the first skit. And I don't know if I'll ever tell the rest of the story, because now you know it all. But I hope you enjoyed the skit. And I've been saving that for a long time. I really wanted that to be a good three-parter. But you know what? That one took me a long time to make. And it has been sitting there and idling. And I just wanted to share it with you. And now it's been 40 minutes of your time almost, and I'm home. Thanks for joining me for the ride as I pull in my driveway. And I'll see you next time. Right here. Oh, I better park this car in the right spot. See you right here on Slug Daily. Or Slug is Doug. Whatever you want to call this podcast. You know, it doesn't matter. One of these days I'll figure out what exactly this is. Take care. ¶¶